It's 8:19, and you're listening to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. Good morning. I'm Mark Smith. Joining me by phone this morning is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, just hearing on NPR there a report about the midterm elections, and I don't tend to dwell on the election coverage a whole lot during these interviews because I think there are some pressing issues that are probably more important to talk about a lot of times because election rhetoric tends to be kind of one-sided, and I don't want to dwell on it too much. But since they're talking about it, you're out and about in the state right now and doing some campaigning for other candidates. You're not campaigning for yourself this time, but campaigning for other candidates around the state. And lots of things going on in this election. It's a very important election. There's a lot of talk about how important this election is and how badly people need to get out and vote and not take this election for granted just because it's a midterm election.
No, I agree with you totally, and I understand the listening to that segment about the apathy that's out there, and a lot of that goes with the concern. There's lots of things going on throughout the world that we're going to be talking about, and then domestically with the economy, and so it's easy just to kind of hunker down, but as you say, it's so important to get out and express your opinion, and you know, we're blessed that we have the opportunity to vote in this country, and we really do need to take advantage of that. And then, you know, if we're unhappy, then, you know, you vote. And certainly it's up to people deciding how they're going to vote, but they certainly need to exercise that freedom that they have.
Yeah, and so many people tend to take midterm elections for granted and,
yes.
and don't go out and vote because it's not a presidential election. But these elections
right.
like this are so much more important a lot of times.
Right. No, you're exactly right. Historically, when you look at the averages, the voter turnout is way down. So hopefully we'll have a good voter turnout. And I know a lot of people are you know, doing their best to be around get people out to the polls. And so that really is very, very important.
Now, you did mention some concerns that people have about the economy, but there were some good economic numbers that have come out that were touted recently. 248,000 jobs created last month, unemployment down to 5.9%, a six-year low. These are sure to be talking points that the Democrats will be using as the election approaches. How will Republicans respond to these positive numbers?
Well, I think there's a feeling that things are getting a little better, but there's just real concern. And a lot of that, you know, it seems to be kind of a broad getting better, but it's not very deep. Most Arkansans have a job, yet they're concerned that they'll have one 6 months from now. And so you couple that with the things that are going on in the world, and I think that because of that, most people feel like the direction of the country is not going, and I think the polls back that up, that the direction of the country is not going as they would like for it to go. The lady in the last segment mentioned, you know, that she'd lived through the good times and, you know, was she living through the bad times? And I think that's really kind of the sentiment, whether you're in Kansas or Arkansas or Maine or wherever.
Well, speaking about world events and elections, we've got these protests going on in Hong Kong now. And people are calling for democracy and free and fair elections, and they want the ability to choose their own candidates for election. Certainly values that we can appreciate here. Is there anything the U.S. can do to help foster the goals that the people there are seeking?
Well, I think we need to be very supportive, and that's about all you can do, you know, is verbally use the bully pulpit that the president has and those that are, you know, elected officials and things, be supportive in that way. But I think that's, you know, probably about all you can do. And the good news is that, you know, that spark is there, and they would very much like to have the freedom to have the freedom to vote and exercise much more authority over what happens to them regarding their elected officials.
Well, another concern that people have right now, people are very concerned about the Ebola outbreak, which has been confined to West Africa until recently. And as we know, we've had an Ebola patient here in America in Dallas that has now died. And dozens of people that he came in contact with are now being monitored for symptoms. And there are questions and concerns about how he was allowed to travel out of Liberia and come to the U.S. Is there cause for concern here? What are the response? How is that going here in America?
Well, there is a cause for concern, and I'm really pleased that the president's gotten involved. using the Centers for Disease Control, our National Institute of Health. Those are outstanding organizations that are very well run. For every four people that we know are infected, there's probably six that aren't infected. And every 3 weeks, the number of infections is doubling. And so when you look at it, when you look at the number of infections now, and you look at this doubling factor of every 3 weeks, it's not inconceivable that if things don't slow down from their current pace, that we could have over 1 million people infected throughout the world, primarily in Africa, in a very short period of time. So it is something that's really important. We need to make sure that our facilities, our practitioners are aware that they're screening in the right way. But yeah, it's something that we really do need to be very, very aggressive about.
Are we doing enough to fight the spread of the disease in Africa, but also to prevent the outbreaks here in America?
Well, I'm concerned. I would be one that would really look hard at maybe doing a travel ban or a quarantine before people came in. There's controversy either way. If you do the travel ban, there's concern that might exacerbate, cause fear in those countries, and that they'll get out even at a greater rate, and then also just getting workers in and out of there. On the other hand, this is a disease. A gentleman that came in and ultimately died, he wouldn't have been picked up on the screen. He had no symptoms at all before he got here. And so as a result of that, we just have to be very careful. These are difficult things, and I do rely greatly on the Centers for Disease Control. I think they do a good job, and they are very actively engaged now.
Well, airstrikes against ISIS are continuing. It's another issue in the Middle East. How much do we know about the effectiveness of these airstrikes? Are they having an impact?
Well, they don't appear to be having a lot of impact. ISIS is on the move and continuing to gain ground, and so it's difficult. The situation is, what do you do? We don't want to put troops on the ground. We'd like to have others in the Middle East, step forward and be those boots. And that's been very difficult so far to get. So right now, I think we're doing what we should be doing. We should be doing our best to, destabilize them through airstrikes. And then again, let our generals take a look and see what they feel like is the best mode of action going forward.
There's been some discussion about whether Congress should act to provide greater authority for the president to do what he is doing, whether Congress should actually reconvene, and there's talk about putting that off till after the election. What do you think about that whole issue of Congress's role in this?
I think Congress should authorize the strikes in Syria. The president has the authority in Iraq, based on the things that have already been passed. But in Syria, it's a different situation, and I think that's important. Even if it were a gray area and he didn't disagree, I think that he would get congressional authority without any problem. What that does is legitimize it. It shows the whole world, that we're united, and that Congress, along with the president, feels like this is important. It shows ISIS, that we're committed to getting after them. I think we have to be like the Israelis. The Israelis have managed to coexist in a very difficult neighborhood for many, many years, and they've done that by making it such that their neighbors understand if they grab up some of their citizens and cut their heads off, there's going to be retribution. It's going to be very quick. That's the way that we have to respond, and I think that now our Joint Chiefs of Staff, the president, are trying to figure out how to do that.
Well, should Congress just go ahead and reconvene briefly to give that authority even before the election?
Yeah, I think that would be an excellent idea. I don't have any problems with all of that. I think that, that gives legitimacy, and then also shows the whole world that we are united as a Congress, united as a country, in the sense of going forward with the airstrikes, and that we're very serious about this.
Well, we've heard some military officials say that they feel the airstrikes alone will not be enough and that many people are concerned about whether our involvement in the fight against ISIS will escalate. Are you concerned that it may get to a point where U.S. ground troops are called upon to go back in?
Well, I think it was a mistake to take anything off the table initially. You don't tell your enemy what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. So I, like every other American, are reluctant to use, boots on the ground in Syria or back in Iraq. And yet, if it came to special forces, if our commanders in the field felt like a small group of special forces for targeting, various entities that we needed to strike, things like that, then there might be some room for that.
Well, we're involved in training ground troops in the region, but from what we've been hearing, it sounds like the Iraqi military is nowhere near ready for this fight. What do you hear regarding our overall training operations in the region?
It's going to be very slow and very difficult, and at the rate that ISIS is moving, or appears to be moving, it's going to be a long time before those troops are in the field. So right now, the entire situation is not a good one. And, we need to do the best that we can do with the hand that we're dealt. But it's probably going to be a while before they're such that they're a fighting force that can stand up against ISIS.
It seems like the forces that may be having the most success are the Kurdish forces.
Yes, they are. And they're defending their homeland. And it's sad. We need to be in there helping the Kurds. They've been great allies for many, many years of the United States now. And so they are. They're like I said, they're fighting for their lives. They're fighting for their homeland and doing a pretty good job so far.
Well, on the subject of troops, you're about to embark on what you're calling a defense tour around the state next week. A lot of people may not be aware of just how many facilities we have here in Arkansas with direct ties to the military.
No, it's really pretty amazing. I didn't realize it until I was, became a congressman and was aware, but we have a number of defense manufacturing areas throughout the state, down around Camden particularly. Lots of the components that we hear about, the various missiles and things, are made down there. It's a $3.3 billion industry throughout the state when you look at everything. 24,000 Arkansans involved. So what we're trying to do is just get around, visit with them. We'll be at our bases, visiting with our troops, the commanders and things, just making sure that we're doing all that we can do. It's been very difficult on the military, both the service members and the defense industry, with sequestration and the tremendous decrease in their funding. So we'll be talking to them, see what we need to be. I'm a peace through strength guy. I think that you spend the money that you need for defense. That's one of the things that I can't do as an individual, we can't do as a state. We have to do that as a nation. And in this very difficult, very troubled world, we need to make sure that we have the military that we need to protect us.
Always seems to be a struggle keeping these bases open in Arkansas. We're always dealing with the closure committee and threats of closing or changing things at those bases. What's the outlook for the future for our bases?
I think the outlook for our bases is pretty good. The huge installation in the Little Rock area is kind of the premier C-130 base of the world. Mm-hmm. And so, I think we're in pretty good shape. That's what we'll be talking about, is how do we make sure that we are, that we have a mission, that when the BRAC process, if it starts again at some point, if they start looking at where they need to get rid of things, that we're producing products, that we are, have missions that are going to stand up and are missions of the future rather than missions of the past.
I know you and the rest of the delegation have been actively opposing a proposed expansion of critical habitat designations. And this, as I understand it, would expand the scope of the Endangered Species Act. And there are actually three proposals that deal with this. What's the reasoning that's being given for these proposals to expand this?
Well, Fish and Wildlife is just in a situation where they have come out with the fact that they need to greatly expand it in Arkansas. And that's one of the things that we're trying to find out. You know, where's the science behind it? You know, is there good science? Is there common sense, involved? What is the impact on the property rights? What's the impact on the economy? You know, how's it going to affect jobs? So those are all the questions that the delegation is trying to find out, and then make sure, very importantly, that there is sound science behind this. So right now, those answers have not been forthcoming. We've written letters as a delegation asking for specific things, and so we're in the process of getting all the information that we can so we can go forward.
And this would basically, as I understand it, it'd take the current designated areas they've said we have to set these areas aside because there are species that would be affected, endangered species that would be affected in these areas, and they're wanting to basically expand this and say there's a whole lot of land now that we need to protect.
Yes, there's a whole lot of land that we need to protect, and where does it end? And that's the real thing. Is again, seeing what the basis is of them doing it in the sense of the need, and then also what's the basis in the act that's in place right now that they have the authority to do this. And the agencies right now are really taking, I think, authority that they don't have. And, in fact, many mm-hmm. in Congress feel that way, and we're mm-hmm. really trying to push back hard on that.
Okay. Well, we're out of time. I appreciate your time today, sir.
Well, thank you so much, as always, for having me.
Senator John Bozeman joins us by phone from Rogers, Arkansas, this morning. You're listening to Morning Edition.